This morning, I want to invite you to pull your bulletin out, turn to the front page, and I'd like to read together the quote that you see there on the front of your bulletin. So if you'll read along with me, best you can, together now. People see God every day. They just don't recognize Him. People see God every day. They just don't recognize Him. Interesting that you could read that, isn't it? Even though some letters are kind of jumbled up, something in your mind allowed you to put that phrase together, allowed you to resort those letters that you might recognize those words. Interesting how the brain works, doesn't it? Just hold on to that for a few moments. And hear this message from the book of Matthew, beginning towards the end of chapter 25 and verse 31. We read a story that we looked at back in November, and today as we begin Lent and we begin thinking about God's call for us in mission and service to the world, I invite you to hear this story again. Now, when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All of the nations will be gathered in front of him, and he will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, that is the sheep, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who were righteous will reply to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Get away from me, you who receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't welcome me. I was naked and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't do anything to help you?" Then he will answer, "I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Several months ago, about the end of November it was, I suggested that this parable has something to say to us about the way we see other people, particularly how we judge other people, because it basically tells us that how we see others has everything to do with how and where we see Christ. Christ is in every person we meet, most especially, as this parable says, the least. So when we see another person, we should see Christ in them. We should love every person as though he or she was Christ, is Christ, will be Christ. And if we do this, we will discover life in God's kingdom. Because, as I said in November, to love is to live. To love is to live. To see another human life is to see Christ. Even as Dorothy Day has said, in his most distressing disguise, to see another human life is to see Christ, even if in his most distressing disguise. Sometimes the disguises that we wear are distressing to us. And so today I'd like to invite you to hear a portion of this passage from the Bible in a little bit of a different way. It'll include some numbers and some statistics that for some of us may be easy to hear because we've heard them for many years. For others of us, they may be uncomfortable and place us in a position of seeing Christ in his most distressing disguise. I ask that you simply, and perhaps you'd be willing to even just close your eyes and listen as you hear this scripture read in a different way. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. One in nine people in our world go to bed hungry every day. 14.5% of households in the United States struggle to put food on the table every day. Over 40 million Americans didn't have enough food to put on the table in 2016. Undernutrition is responsible for nearly half of the total number of children's deaths in our world. And here in North Carolina, we are worse than the national average when it comes to hungry families. By more than 2 percentage points worse than the national average. For I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. 9% of the world's population still doesn't have access consistently to clean drinking water. More people in the world have access to a cell phone than to a toilet. Diseases from unsafe water and lack of basic sanitation kill more people every year than all forms of violence, including war, put together. The number is about 30,000 people every week. For I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. As of June 2016, 65.3 million individuals had been forcibly displaced across the world. Refugees, people fleeing a country because of war, violence, or persecution over things like race, religion, or nationality. 51% of those are children. More than half. Developing countries are host to 86% of those refugees, and wealthy countries care for about 14% of those refugees. I was naked, and you covered me. A record 14 million U.S. homes are vacant. That's one out of every 9 houses in the United States are vacant right now. Yet 3.5 million people experience homelessness each year, and 39% of those are children. 51.4% of Americans will live in poverty at some point in their life before they reach age 65. 12.7% of Americans live below the federal poverty line, and most of them work a job. 26.8% of people with disabilities live below the poverty line. One out of every 3 veterans that's a third, are unemployed. And that's ages 18 to 24. I was sick, and you took care of me. 62% of all bankruptcies in 2007 were due to medical debt, and 3/4 of them had health insurance. Among economically comparable countries, the U.S. has one of the highest rates of people dying from preventable diseases or complications. We have the highest health care costs per person and one of the lowest percentages of people covered by health insurance. Among health factors such as obesity, excessive drinking, no insurance, access to clinics and mental health facilities, education, unemployment, pollution, low quality housing, Harnett County is worse than 75 other counties in North Carolina. I was in prison and you visited me. We have one of the highest incarceration rates in the entire world here in the United States. 1 out of every 17 white men can expect to be incarcerated in their lifetime. For black men, that number is 1 out of every 3 can expect to be incarcerated in their lifetime. And visits to these persons, as Jesus commands us, are the exception, not the rule. In a typical month, only 31% of inmates receive a visit from someone, from anyone. Meaning that 2/3 of the people incarcerated do not receive one visit a month throughout 30 days. And yet research shows that visiting inmates is one of the best ways, most effective ways to reduce recidivism. Recidivism, that is once you get out committing another crime. A visit during your stay in a prison or jail is one of the best ways to reduce recidivism. Visits reduce the risk of recidivism by 13% for felony reconvictions and by 25% for other violations. Jesus was on to something when he said long ago, when he spoke about visiting someone in prison. There's no shortage of people who are struggling to simply live and exist in this world. We can see them every day if we just look. If we just open our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our minds and our souls to the sometimes uncomfortable truths and the sometimes distressing disguises that people around the world wear, we can see Jesus represented in even these numbers I've shared this morning. Each of these numbers, you see, represents a life. One of God's sons or daughters. Which means that each of these numbers is one of your brothers and sisters. Christ teaches us to see one another as family. As the family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, is a great one. Literally, Christ is in each of us because we are born of God. God is our Father and our Mother, and Christ is like the DNA which stitches and sews us together. So we should look for Christ in one another. And as Jesus says, especially in those we would call the least of these, those represented by the numbers I shared, and even the numbers I haven't shared. I certainly haven't shared them all, and you may be thinking of some that you've heard as well in these moments. However uncomfortable and distressing, these persons, these lives, are nonetheless a part of the truth of the fabric of our society and our world. And Jesus teaches us that to live in God's kingdom is to see Christ in such people and serve them as we would serve Christ. So this Lent, Pastor Joni and I are asking you and ourselves to reflect on the ways that we serve others, to look deeply into how you and we together see Christ in others. Where in your life have you been a sheep? Where have you seen Christ and given food or drink or clothes or shelter or visited? And where in your life have you potentially, possibly been a goat? Where have you forgotten to see Jesus through your words or your actions? How might Jesus be saying to you now, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison. And is it possible that I, and maybe you, are sitting before Jesus now saying, Lord, when did I see you sick or hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison? Now, this isn't something to beat ourselves up about. In fact, we're hoping for the very opposite this Lenten season. Too often we get to Lent and we just kind of have a pity party for ourselves, and it's so repentant that we can't even come to church and have much joy in our lives. This, friends, is about an opportunity. An opportunity to reach out and connect with Christ. An opportunity to see Christ in others and to allow Christ to live more fully in us. And so this Lent, we are taking steps to create some specific opportunities here at Hood Memorial Christian Church. And I want to share a few of those with you, some of which are in the back of your bulletin today, some others of which we haven't printed and completely organized yet, but they are nonetheless in the works. Just a few days ago, this past Wednesday on February 14th, Valentine's Day, our children prepared chemo kits. Five kids created 32 bags to be delivered this week to Duke Children's Hospital to show children there that we care for them when they are sick. On February 24th, that's this Saturday, we're going to again begin breaking and preparing ground for a community garden so that we might more faithfully, more fully consider those who are hungry in our community and fill them with good things. On February 25th, next Sunday is a fellowship lunch, which we're going to have an opportunity to pay attention to the children of our community, of our family of faith, who want to have the opportunity that maybe you had when you were a child to go to camp. And my goodness, you can't imagine how expensive camp has gotten. It's like $330-some per child. I think if you have two or three children, that can become a pretty extraordinary cost for a family. So we're going to be helping defray that cost through a fundraiser to help send our kids to camp. Families are still going to contribute and put some in, but we're going to try to help. On Tuesday, February 27th, that's the fourth Tuesday of February, is one of the days that Duma, of which we are a part of, our food pantry, hands out food. We're going to be gathering together, and we'll give you more information about that. That's not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday. We're going to hopefully go together as a group and help serve those food in our community who need it. March 13th is another Tuesday, and we'll have another opportunity to partner with Duma to be there and help distribute food. On March 14th is another Love Wins Kids Mission Project. The kids, as I said earlier, are going to be doing a backpack project, putting together non-perishable food items for children who are hungry in our schools every day and every weekend so that they might have a little bit more on their table on Saturday and Sunday than they would normally have. On March 24th, several of the churches in our community are getting together in an effort that we've been a part of before called Rise Against Hunger. Now, it was formerly called Stop Hunger Now. They've changed their name to Rise Against Hunger. This is where we get together and we pack very simple meals. We're going to pack 100,000 meals on March 24th. And they're going to get sent all over the world to communities that are struggling because of hunger and poverty and famine. On April 11th, there'll be another kids' mission project. They're going to visit a nursing home, delivering cards that the children will make saying, welcome, we love you, we want to know you more. And that's just a few things. Today, we're collecting a special offering for Week of Compassion. I know that this is an offering our congregation has participated in for many years, and most recently back when the hurricanes came through. Week of Compassion has folks all across our world working on the ground. They know people, they have relationships, they know the needs, they understand the situations because they are with the folks that need help. When we sent over $2,000, I don't remember the exact figure, some months ago after the most recent hurricane came through, we got a card back from Reverend Dr. Joe Hendrickson. Joe said to us, "Thanks for your very generous gift to help those in need following recent disasters. I'm grateful for your support. Your contribution will help us rebuild houses, churches, communities, and lives impacted by these storms." Week of Compassion has helped families over this past year in Texas and Puerto Rico who are impacted by hurricanes. They offered food and shelter to families as far away as Sierra Leone and Bangladesh who experienced some of the most severe floods of the past century. Through Week of Compassion, Disciples of Christ extended care to refugees from countries across the world. Through Week of Compassion, folks across our world find that needs are met and that someone whom they might not even know is looking out upon them and saying, "I see Christ in you." They're helping folks such as this young man, Luis Alfredo Palacio. On a given afternoon 3 years ago, you would most likely find Luis lounging in a chair watching television. Like many other young men just entering into adulthood, Luis was unsure about the direction of his life. As a soon-to-be father, though, he knew that he needed to find work. Work that was meaningful and would help provide for his family. That's when Luis connected with Week of Compassion, a Week of Compassion partner working with a Nicaraguan community to improve agriculture and address the challenges of agriculture in that land, a land that is undergoing a particular kind of degradation. As a part of the project, local farmers are learning and developing techniques for planting, seed selection, irrigation, and soil protection. These techniques multiply the yields of crops more than they have ever been able to do so before, providing additional food and income for families. Through this work, Luis discovered a passion teaching other people. As an agricultural promoter, Luis is teaching five other families the skills to improve their farming. He's developed a demonstration plot at his home to use in sharing techniques like soil curbing to prevent erosion, drip irrigation for water conservation, and using manure to improve soil quality. His hope is to improve the quality of life for himself and his neighbors and to protect the land that he lives on for generations to come. Just a few years ago, Luis struggled to imagine his future. Now he is helping his entire community imagine a future of abundance because folks from Disciples of Christ churches around this country and others said to Luis, "We see Christ in you and we want to help make Christ's love flow through you by supporting you." Today, wherever you are, I hope that you will consider what God's call on your life means as you see Christ in others. And if you don't believe that you can make a difference through even the smallest gift, there's an old African proverb that says, if you think you're too small to make a difference, you haven't spent a night with a mosquito. Be a mosquito today and make a difference.